Good morning, church. It is good to be with you today. I'm always careful when I go to a new place not to say good morning in my normal tone of voice, because you never know how they've got the volume set. And most churches are not prepared for this. And so I give it a few minutes just to make sure we get that regulated before we blow everybody out. I bet Wilson has had that happen to him a time or two in places he's gone. I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll begin there in just a moment. Take just a second to introduce myself. My name is Josh Aaron's brother. In a lot of places and a lot of times, that's where it stops. That's where the introduction stops. But imagine just for a moment, if you will, several years ago, I'll be my dad for just a minute. Hello, I'm David Aaron. I'd like to introduce you my two sons. Their names are Joshua and Caleb. No, that's not what they did. They went Joshua and Elijah, and we had to wait several years for Caleb to come along. You can imagine, though, having been named after Elijah, the Old Testament prophet, that his story, his life, would be of interest to me. And that is true. I love reading his story and finding applications for our lives today from the story of Elijah. And there's one here in 1 Kings chapter 19 that I feel like is especially relevant for what we're going through in our day in time. Let's start reading in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Let's stop there just a minute, and I would like to ask this question. Who is this person? It says that his name is Elijah, but this is not Elijah, right? This is not the same man who has gone up against Ahab many times in his life, who has prayed to the Lord that it would not rain, and it didn't rain. He has been miraculously fed by the Lord for years now. This is a man who has raised another human life from the dead. This is the same man who one chapter earlier stood up for the name of the Lord and challenged all the prophets of Baal to come out and contend with him. And then after the Lord answered with fire that he was God, and all the people saw it, there was no one there who was left to question, is it God or is it Baal? After that great conquering victory, Elijah slays 450 prophets of Baal with the sword. What happened to that guy? Where is he in this chapter? How did he become this man who was so great in victory, and now this one woman has threatened his life, and he runs away and cowers in fear? And where's he going? Why is he leaving his post? He's a prophet of Israel. Why is he running away and leaving behind all those people who just saw that the Lord was God? I think there's an important lesson in this chapter to show that Elijah, in many respects, is not all that different from us. He can experience really high highs, but there are times when he feels really low. When he's afraid. When he is depressed. When he feels lonely. Those are emotions that all of us experience. And none of us have ever called down fire from heaven. So we understandably, experience those emotions. But we need to be fair for people in the Bible to allow them to have the freedom and the grace to feel these emotions as well. I think not only Elijah shows us his humanity in this chapter, helps us connect with him, so to speak, but I also think that this chapter shows us a roadmap for what we need to do when we are feeling this way. 2020 has certainly been a year worth forgetting. Let's just wipe it off the history. Let's just get rid of it and let's go on to something better in 2021. And as you can imagine and maybe even connect with Elijah eventually goes on and finds a cave and he kind of spends the night in the cave. 2020, has it gotten any of you feeling like you'd like to find a cave? And just tell me when it's over. Let me come out when all of this is done. And I'll go right back to serving the Lord when that happens. Of course, there's been all kinds of things that have happened. Perhaps you've lost your job this year. Perhaps you've lost someone very close to you. A family member has lost their life in this year. Perhaps you have lost money in the economic collapse that has happened, especially earlier in this year. There could be all sorts of reasons why you might find yourself wanting to find the nearest cave today. But let's learn something from the lesson of Elijah here. In years past, I've been very unfair to my namesake. I felt like Elijah was just throwing himself a pity party, that he was just down and depressed and lonely, and he just went and found the nearest cave and went in there to kind of self-loathe for a minute until God finally found him somewhere. No, Elijah didn't do that. In fact, Elijah did something remarkable. Elijah traveled over 320 miles to find the cave where he slept. That cave was at a place, the text tells us, called Horeb, or the Mount of God. That's interesting. Whenever you see names like that, I'm a big name nerd when it comes to finding things in Scripture and seeing a name or a location and kind of seeing like where does that name or where does that location come into play other places in Scripture. And you'll find that Horeb is a really, really amazing place. Maybe you've never heard the name Horeb before, but you probably know it by another name, Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai? Why would Elijah go to Mount Sinai? Why would he go to Horeb and find this cave? He could have gone to the temple. The temple had been built. It was in Jerusalem. There were some pretty good kings going on in Judah when Elijah was ministering in the northern kingdom of Israel. Asa and Jehoshaphat, largely considered to be pretty good kings. But even then, what was the major knock against those two kings? That the high places were not torn down and people continually offered sacrifices at the high places. So even in Judah, there was some level of corruption that was still hanging around. And so Elijah went back to the purest source he could find. He went back to the place where the Lord once appeared to Moses in a burning bush. He went back to the place where Israel once stood as they watched Moses descend or ascend up the mountain into the cloud and disappear for several days. He went back to the place where Moses, when he came down from that mountain, was carrying two tablets of stone that carried the very word of God, the commandments that he had given to Moses to deliver to the people. This mountain is the same place where Moses asked God to show him his glory. And in the next chapter, we see the Lord passing by Moses, and we get that great image in our minds of the Lord covering Moses with his hand in the cleft of the rock and announcing his presence as he went by. You see, that's the cave that Elijah chose in order to throw his pity party. That's the cave that Elijah chose to go to when he was feeling lonely and depressed and scared. And so the first stop on our roadmap today of how to deal with the things that we're feeling and deal with how this year has made us feel. The first step in the roadmap is to find the right cave. You may want to go and hide in a cave. You might want to go find a cave and just spend the night there or spend a week there. But make sure it's the right cave. That's what Elijah did. Elijah chose the right cave. The cave where he would most certainly hear the true and pure voice of the Lord. Now think about all the caves that are out there for you and me. All the caves we could run to. A lot of times when people are scared or depressed or they're feeling lonely, they may run to the cave of alcohol. Maybe your cave to run away to is the cave of pornography. What if it's the cave of just hopelessness and despair? And you want to just spend your time in that cave just trying to forget about all the stuff that's going on and try to make the feelings go away and just try to numb out all of this. Or you should go to the right cave. Find the cave where you're going to be assured of hearing the voice of the Lord. Now I want you to notice what happens when he gets in that cave. Elijah ends up hearing many voices. Some of them are not the Lord. Watch what happens next. It says in verse 9, "There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord.' And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' So Elijah goes out and he stands out there, and the Lord is passing by, and there's all these amazing manifestations of power. A strong and mighty wind comes, and it's strong enough to start tearing things apart. The mountain is literally falling apart before him. You can imagine rock slides just rolling down the mountain. And Elijah notices that the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, the earthquake. The same thing. You could imagine the earth trembling beneath his feet. You could imagine him wanting to look for cover as he looked up the mountain to see if anything was going to fall on top of him and take his life. The next thing you know, that mountain's on fire. That's not the first time that mountain has been on fire. Do you remember? You remember when the Israelites looked on that mountain and it burned with fire and it was so terrifying that they said, I don't ever want to hear from the Lord again. Moses, you go talk to him and you tell us what he says. Imagine being Elijah standing there and all of these amazing expressions of power are shown before him. But he's able to recognize that the Lord was not in those things. The Lord was in the gentle whisper that came after all of that. And so we have chosen the right cave, right? That's our first step in the roadmap. We're going to choose the right cave. But guess what? You're not the only one who knows where that cave is. Satan knows where that cave is too. And he's going to start sending all kinds of expressions of power before you. Anybody ever had something like this happen to you? You're here. You're in God's cave. You're listening for His voice. And then all of a sudden, CNN comes on and they say, "Rah! Look at what Trump did today!" And you feel something, don't you? That can get at you. That's not a political statement at all. Fox News comes over here and they say, "Rah! Did you see what Senator so-and-so said today?" And now we've talked to both sides, right? And so you see the people on the CNN side over here. You hear these things that come out, and they are meant to do what? To get you angry, and to get you feeling something, to get you distracted, to get you focused on something completely different than what you came to this cave to hear. It's not just media that does this. We do this to each other. We try to come to the cave and hear the voice of God, and next thing you know, we have someone who's considered a friend, somebody who's just trying to help, who wants to give us the latest juicy gossip that they know is going to cause us to feel emotions that we shouldn't feel and cause us to think things that we shouldn't think and maybe even cause us to go and spread what should not be spread. I could go on and on and give you dozens of examples of all the things that are not the voice of God. But I think you get the point. When we come to the right cave, we need to make sure that we're listening for the right voice. Because there's going to be all kinds of things that will go on around us that will try to distract us from the purpose of us coming to the cave of the Lord. We came here to hear His voice. We came here to be calmed by His presence, to be encouraged by His direction, to be comforted with His peace. And yet, we allow the TVs to stay on. And we continue to scroll. I don't, but some people do. And we just let all of those voices surround us. And it makes it that much more difficult to hear the voice of the Lord. Step number one, find the right cave. Step number two, make sure you're listening for the right voice. Make sure it's the Lord's voice that speaks to you and calms your spirit and motivates your soul. Well, let's continue reading. Here's Elijah. He's standing before the Lord. The Lord has asked him again, "What are you doing here?" Verse 14, he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. You ever told God the same thing twice? It's almost like Elijah's thinking the Lord didn't hear him the first time. He didn't understand maybe the circumstances that he was going through and all the things that were happening to make him feel the way that he felt. And so Elijah is not thinking with the right perspective here. And this happens to you and me a lot, doesn't it? When we start feeling like we need to find a cave and we need to go spend some time there, most of the time, what causes us to feel that way is because we are focusing so much on what is happening to me. What's going on with me right now? What are the things that are going wrong in my life? It's my job, my marriage, my family, my community. Things that are going on wrong in my church. It's all about the things that are happening to us. That's Elijah's perspective here. Look at what he says, and he says it two different times. We know where his mind is. He's told us twice, I have been very jealous for the Lord God. And it's those people who have done wrong. Those people, all of them, all of Israel, and he lumps everybody together, all of Israel has forsaken you, they've torn down your altars, they've killed your prophets, and now my life is in danger as well. See, Elijah didn't come to the cave with the right perspective. But he certainly is going to leave this cave with not only the right perspective, but also the right mission. Listen to how the Lord answers Elijah. The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." You see, Elijah came to this cave and his focus was only on Elijah and what was going on in his life. That's the wrong perspective. The right perspective is to be reminded of all the things that the Lord is doing. You know, we can get so wrapped up and so focused on things that happen in our very small little bubble that we forget that the Lord is at work here. You know, when COVID-19 was introduced into the world, the Lord did not stop reigning on His throne. He's not up there right now in a mask because He's afraid of this pandemic. And that's not a statement about masks either. I'm just saying. He's not affected by this. There's no place that's cut off from His presence. There's no place that says, "I'm sorry, Lord, it's 2020. You're not welcome here right now." He's still working. Regardless of what circumstances are going on in your life or my life, He is still working in ways that we can't see or even comprehend the magnitude. My family, my wife specifically, and her family suffered a great loss this year. And many of you were aware of that. Many of you spent time praying for my wife and her family. And I thank you for that. And when something like that happens, it causes you to want to do this, doesn't it? It causes you to want to go find this cave and try to figure out what's going on here. And it's been amazing to see how the passing of my father-in-law has opened up doors of opportunity that have been closed for decades. Things that my wife and I had been praying for and longing for a long time, now all of a sudden, changes are happening. It's amazing, isn't it? When you see from the right perspective what the Lord is working out. So easy to get wrapped up in just looking internally and seeing, well, I lost my job. Or my investments have taken a huge hit. Or my family has experienced this tragedy. And I in no way mean to belittle or demean anyone who's gone through any of those things. But I want to encourage you and tell you that there's a right response to those things. Find the right cave. Make sure you're listening for the right voice. Get the right perspective and understand the right mission. Elijah went into that cave feeling scared and alone, without purpose, without hope, and he left with a job to do. Anoint Hazael as king, anoint Elisha as prophet after you, Jehu as king over Israel. And here's what's going to happen. Here's the battle plan. The Lord gives him the perspective and the mission, and now he's empowered to go out and do the work that God has given him to do. What is that for you? What mission is it that the Lord wants you to work with him to accomplish? I can't answer that for you. I'm going to have to ask you to spend some time in that cave listening for that voice and getting that right perspective, especially if you've gone through a year where you've experienced great tragedy or loss. We need that proper perspective. The last thing I want to bring out from this text is for us to find the right people. God had given Elijah the task of anointing those kings and to go out and find his successor. It says in verse 19, he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak over him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him, took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Elijah went into that cave feeling like he was the only one left. He went in there feeling scared and lost and discouraged. And he emerged with one of the best friends a man could ever hope for in Elisha. A man so loyal to him that he didn't want to see Elijah go away. Who are the right people that you need to find that are going to help you emerge from this cave encouraged, edified, built up, strengthened? and back on the path that leads to heaven. 2020 has shown us that there's a lot of noise around us. We've already mentioned that we're bombarded with it on television, on social media, and maybe even in our own friend groups. The truth of it is that if you want to experience the same level of encouragement and strengthening of your mission and purpose that Elijah did, it might cost you something. In fact, it probably already has. And maybe there's more cost left to pay. And by that I mean, perhaps you're going to have to start making some sacrifices. Perhaps you're going to have to mute the television for a while. Perhaps you're going to have to get off social media for an extended period of time. Maybe, just maybe, you might have to click that unfollow button. And that may mean that you need to click that unfollow button on somebody that's sitting here with you in this room. And I'm certainly not trying to stir up strife among this group. I'm just trying to say that if we're going to go to the right cave and listen to the right voice, we may find that many of the voices to whom we have been listening are not the right voices. And we're going to have to figure out how we're going to mute that so that we can listen to the Lord's voice and gain that right perspective. Again, I don't know you very well. I know that you've been an amazing family to my family, and for that I am grateful. And so I can't really get up here and speak to how this lesson applies to you. I mean, I can tell you everything that Josh needs to do to repent, but I that's another lesson for another day. Might be an email. That might be a better way to distribute that. I don't know what you need. I don't know your hurts. I don't know your pain. I don't know the tragedy you've experienced and the loss that you've suffered. I don't know your temptations or your weaknesses. I don't know what cave is usually the cave that you run to when you're feeling alone. And so I'm going to have to ask you to journey with me here and make it personal. You're going to have to be honest with yourself here, because I can't call you out by name and say, this is where you need to go, or this is where you've been running away. Only you can do that. And I hope that the lesson has proven to be one that is general enough where you can make the specific application. And I pray that the Lord will open our hearts, that we'll be able to learn from Elijah and to respond as he did. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this amazing day that you have given us to be able to come out to celebrate you, to celebrate the gift of your Son and the saving grace that you have poured out so freely upon us through his sacrifice. Thank you, Father, for not hiding things from us. Thank you for not giving us a word that is just filled with superheroes who never struggle and who never feel the same kinds of emotions that we feel. It's easy to look at the chapters of Elijah's life and to put him up on a pedestal as a superhero of the faith, but thank you for giving us this chapter. And thank you for showing us that he, just like I do, experienced loneliness, depression, a loss of hope. And thank you for showing us by his example the right way to cope with all of that and the right way to deal with it so that we can get right back on our mission and our purpose. Thank you, Father, for the words that you've preserved for us today. And we pray, Father, your blessing to be upon all those who are in our presence today. We want to include in that all those who have been watching online, and we thank you for that avenue that gives us the ability to all be together in spirit. We pray, Father, that their hearts would be opened, that their minds would be focused on honesty and reflection, figuring out what it is in their lives that needs to change and what they need to do in order to respond to what this year has brought. Thank you for giving them the roadmap. We pray, Father, that you'll give them the strength and the endurance to be able to pursue it so that they can be strengthened just like Elijah. It's in the precious and blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray and ask these things. Amen. A couple of years ago, there's a young couple in our church, and I'm just going to be honest, I was not fast enough to get to them after services. Never beat them to the back door, not one time. I don't know how they did it. And so I thought, you know, how am I ever going to connect with this family? I don't know. I guess I'll, while the closing prayer is offered, I'll run down the middle aisle and I'll go out the back door and I'll be there to stop them when they come out. Never saw them. They must have went out the other door. I don't know. So, I coached my daughter's 8-year-old softball team, and I saw their daughter on the list of people to draft. And I thought, that's how I'm going to get them. That's how I'm going to connect with them. And so I drafted their daughter. She's been on our softball team for the last 2 years. Won 2 championships. She actually turned out to be a really great softball player, so it worked out great in a lot of ways. But I got a phone call from Marley's dad this past week. Is it 8:30 in the morning? I'm not awake at 8:30 in the morning, just so you know. But anyway, he called me and he said, hey, I need some advice. He said, I'm convinced that the Lord allowed me to lose my job earlier this year so that I could spend these last 6 months finding him again. And he said, I feel like I need a fresh start. And I want to start over. And he said, I was wondering if maybe I could meet you up at the building and you could baptize me. And I thought, wow. What a great illustration for this sermon. A man who says, I lost my job. What do you want to do when you lose your job? You want to run and hide? You want to experience the self-pity that Elijah was going through at the beginning of this chapter? But to recognize the right perspective and the right mission is, God caused this or allowed this to happen for this reason, so that I would find him again. Somebody forgot to turn on the heater at the baptistry, and so we got 2 things out of the way that day. He was baptized into Christ, and he knocked off the polar bear plunge. But think about that. Think about what a great perspective and a great example that is to show somebody who's experienced loss and tragedy, but has emerged with the right perspective. Perhaps some of you today need a fresh start. You need a way to start over. Maybe you need to enter into covenant with God for the very first time, and you've been waiting, and you've realized that you've been waiting. You've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. It's time. It's time. It's time for you to make the corrections that you need to make in your life. Don't let the loss of a spouse, the loss of a child, the loss of a job, the loss of a friend be the thing that has to wake you up. Let's wake up now. Let's find out what the Lord wants us to do, and let's emerge victorious and get right back on the mission that he has for us. If you need to be buried with Christ in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, then certainly we want to make that opportunity available to you. If you need in any way to get your life right with the Lord, whether that involves you standing up here and saying something, or whether that involves you grabbing a friend, someone you trust, and going into another room and just asking them to pray for you. And certainly we want to make that opportunity available to you at this time as we stand and sing this song to encourage you.